Again, welcome from whatever part of the world that you're calling in from. As we normally do, we are going to start the circle of sharing. And so I'm going to ask to push star six. That way you guys can jump in the queue. And we will just take a moment to check in with everyone, see how everyone's week's gone, and really maybe you can share a moment from your week. You know, maybe that's something that provided perhaps a moment of inspiration or a learning moment, something that really just maybe moved you, or maybe something that provoked you, that made you question something that you believed in. And so if folks can push star six, that way they can jump in the queue. And after joining the queue, then we can kind of take turns to kind of go in the circle, and everyone can get a chance to share. So we will start. Looks like we have someone that just joined, so we will start with you.
Hi, good morning. This is Trevor from Detroit. I just wanted to express gratitude for the Saturday calls. They've become a staple for me, and I look forward to them. So I just wanted to thank everyone for co-creating this very deep and meaningful way to connect with each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. Again, star six for those of you that are on the call. And if you're feeling shy, then we might have to pick up.
Morning, this is Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, good morning. It's just a pleasure to be on the call this morning, and I second Trevor's gratitude for having these Saturday Forest calls. And I have a really bad head cold, so I feel a little fuzzy this morning, but my reflection from the week is that I just feel like having a cold allows me to slow down and just be really present to kind of what is, and I'm kind of grateful for that. And it's been a beautiful week of just lots of heartfelt sharing. So happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Birju. It's been a fantastic week over here in New York City. Wanted to share a couple of small anecdotes that came out over the course of the week that have really stuck with me. So Naboon came by to spend time in the city this week. He was visiting and speaking at the United Nations, and we set up a few gatherings around that serendipitous opportunity, one of which was a meditation gathering yesterday evening, a Wednesday on Friday, if you will. And at the end of that circle of sharing, one comment that was shared was how the context of the circle of sharing could be framed in multiple ways, one of which is, I think, the prototypical way, and the way that perhaps I would look at things. It's based on speaking. In effect, you go around the room, and all the way until your name is called, the thoughts start percolating. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And then, you know, as Amit was sharing afterwards, and once you're done sharing, then there's the breakdown of what one said. You know, how did I do? How will people think of me? All the way across until the sharing is over. And then the other way to frame such an opportunity is from the standpoint of listening. And considering that, you know, 95 to 99% of the time in the circle, one's role is to listen, there seems to be a lot of opportunity for growth in that area. If one just takes that as every chance that anyone shares is a new opportunity to listen more and more deeply. I just found that reflection so beautiful and so applicable in life, even outside of that circle. And one other thought came to mind. Along those lines, taking a part in a meeting that was had earlier in the week and noticing how that principle played a such a strong role in the manifestation of a discussion that got to a much deeper level of sharing than would have otherwise happened, because there was such a deep awareness of how to listen appropriately. So, you know, again, things that are a bit new to me, but in noticing the conversation that was taking place at the time was based off of recognizing people's intention to speak. So I noticed one person speaking. There was another individual across the table who breathed in. And when he breathed in, the speaker stopped and said, "I think you want to say something." I'm usually in a frame of reference where when you need to speak, you need to start talking, interrupt the other person, speak over them, whatever is necessary. And here was a context where the deference was so much so that one wanted to be aware of the intentions of the other person and to create space for that. So I found that to be just an amazing lesson. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing. Again, for those of you that are on the call or may have just joined the call, we're just doing our opening circle of sharing. And so we encourage all of you to join and push *6. That way you can jump in the queue and that way you can share a little something with your week. And so actually, to kind of draw upon, you know, something that Birju was just saying, that one of the things that, you know, again, drawing from this idea of circle of sharing, you know, there is that whole sort of dynamic and sometimes anxiety around sharing. But one of the things, you know, and I feel like, you know, I go back and forth personally between this idea of, well, you know, it'd be nice to share something, but at the same rate, you know, the importance of, you know, just trying to listen. But then I will also take the other extreme where I might feel too shy or self-conscious of sharing. And then I have to look at it as, you know, here are folks that are making themselves vulnerable or just taking an opportunity. And so it is my way to just be able to contribute to the group as well. And even if it's small, even if it's just gratitude, that way I've sort of helped co-create the space as well. And so with that, we have our next share.
Beautiful. Very good morning. This is Prakash. Namaste to all of you, me and my wife today. Listening, we bring the smile from the heart of the bay, Hayward, San Francisco Bay Area. So nice to be with all of you, Forest Gardeners, and thank you so much. And today, I would like to share a moment of inspiration from one of your dear friends from the forest, honeybees. Last night, we had a community screening of this incredible documentary called Queen of the Sun, What the Honeybees Are Telling Us. There are so many beautiful insights and gems that came up. I would like to share a few, and also I think it is so beautifully connects to the central theme of the call today about shaping of a human being, celebrating the life of a child and a mother. And the honeybees are such a beautiful example to show us how to live our life. As I was turning the pages of my journal, it so happened that I had penned in one of my journal on 9/2/2010, on the day of Janmashtami, just few lines that I wanted to share. And I think that really, you know, brought a lot of joy and smile on me as I was reading back. The title was Be Like a Honeybee. Honeybees, wherever it goes, collects only the nectar. Like that, I would like to seek goodness in everyone, every place, and every situation. Bees, they live the life of giving and hardworking. Let that be the example for me. And a few insights that I want to quickly share and celebrate with all of you. Is again, the name of the documentary is Queen of Sun, highly encourage everyone to join the community and just see the screening wherever it is possible. If there is none, you can be the first to initiate and invite others to share the joy. One quick insight was bees as an exquisite creature show us the example of how to live a life of service. Thank you all for so much for listening, and I really loved Birju what you shared, and Amit what you reflected on it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next caller.
Hello, this is Jeff in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona this morning. As far as sharing my inspiration moment for the week, I had a great one. I was sharing the service space site with a friend that I work with, and I was kind of sitting with her. She went through some of the different areas, and she got to one thing I forgot is that it's constantly being updated and people are working on it all the time. So she went into one of the areas with the About Us section so she could meet the service space posse. And some of her comments that I thought were great were that she loved some of the different labels that were used, whether it's, somebody who's a difference maker or a servant leader or the miracle man. She just could really feel the love in the site. And I think that for that to be able to come through when somebody who's not experienced with the organization and doesn't really necessarily know what it all is, for her to feel that as she read through stuff and saw the smiling faces and went through all that different stuff, I thought that was a fantastic testament to the way that the team has made the love come out through technology. So many times when you're looking at a screen, it doesn't have the same thing as a visual expression, or you can't feel the love. And I just thought it was awesome that she could feel that just from reading through it and going through like that. So it was a great inspiration moment for me and something I absolutely want to share with everybody here. And I'm looking forward to interacting with everybody on the call today. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. And we're looking forward to interacting with you as well. Again, for those of you that have just joined the call, you can push *6, and that way you can join the queue to our opening circle of sharing. I believe we have our next caller.
Hello, everyone. This is Manal and Ashish from scenic New Jersey, trying to follow up on the Arizona theme. Really grateful to Amit, Birju, and everybody else for making this space possible. It's going to be an interesting experiment to see if our kids are going to be quiet for the next hour and a half as this call proceeds. But our moment of inspiration, or the moment of joy for me this last week was when Valentine's Day was actually celebrated as Generosity Day. And thanks to Amit's gentle persistence, Manal was able to have the kids do a small act of kindness with a smile card. And it was a lot of fun because we captured it on video, and Anha really tagged her violin teacher with a nice bouquet of flowers. So it was fun seeing the kids be excited about doing something, thoughtful for someone else. It was definitely the highlight for me this week. And obviously, as Birju said, we had Nipun over this week. So it's always a celebration, a party when Nipun's over. So that was another highlight for us this week as well. So looking forward to this call and hoping to learn more from everybody else. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Our next caller.
Hi, this is Nosheen from the Boston area. This is my first call, so I'm delighted to be here. I just had a quick reflection. I was listening to a lecture by a professor here at Bentley this morning about creating conscious capitalism. And the term he used was, you know, we need to strive towards creating firms of endearment, so companies that people love. And the crux was sort of capitalizing on the potential of the human spirit. And I couldn't help but think to myself that here within the service-based community, what Nipun and family have done is sort of creating that group where we come together to, you know, in a powerful way to support what we can each realize in terms of our full potential. And so talk about the potential of human spirit and the propensity for conscious capitalism here in a way that, you know, we don't quite have to worry about net margins or anything, but yet this whole ripple effect that you guys talk about, it just hits me. So I was really struck by it, and so I'm really thankful to participate today.
Great, thank you. Always happy to have new callers join the call.
Hello. Hi, this is Meghna and Madhusudan from Gandhi Ashram, Ahmedabad. It's definitely a privilege just to be here.
Hello, guys. Sorry about that. Slight technical issue. Just one moment.
Hi. Hello, Amit. Can you hear us now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Hi. Not a problem. This is Meghna and Madhu from Gandhi Ashram, Ahmedabad. And just want to share a gratitude just for being in this call right now. And a lot of aha moments, but one of them particularly was, for me, was about sharing Raghu's story on Daily Good. And it was so beautiful just to get so many responses from all over the world. And two days back, I was just reading all the responses to Raghu when he had come down. And then again, I met him today and he shared something very beautiful. He went to one of the old lady, and he saw a stray dog which was just next to a lady. And the dog had around a very high fever. So he took the dog and went to the hospital today afternoon, and the dog had had to get an IV done. So, and it was just so beautiful. I mean, although it wasn't a pet dog, it was a stray dog, but there's one old lady who used to deliver tiffin. She was moved to by love to, you know, do that, and then Raghu took that to the hospital, and the dog had apparently 104 degree fever. And they had to put a glucose, and they had to put a IV dip to save the dog. And when Raghu shared that, suddenly like the whole perspective about a lot of things kind of cleared for me. So I was feeling a lot of gratitude for just such small things and to be in this circle right now. So thank you. That was the aha moment today we had.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Next caller. This part.
Yes, hi. First of all, thank you so much for creating the space and for I'm just deeply grateful for the opportunity to be on this call. Several aha moments. First was just being part of the community last night, and one of the things that I'm so astounded by is the difference that all of you have made. So I just really wanted to share my gratitude to all of you who are on this call, for those of you who are verbally generating your participation, and for those of you who are energetically generating your participation, because I know that these calls have made a huge difference for me, and I've shared stories from these calls with countless people over the last several weeks. So I just really wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Bart.
Hi, this is Somik, and I'm really grateful to be on this call, just checking in. My aha moment is we've just crossed a month with our daughter, and it's just remarkable seeing her in a moment-to-moment awareness. One moment she's crying, and the next moment she's smiling, and the next moment it's different, not holding on to the previous moment. So that just reminds me that we have this innate ability in us, and we forget there is still some hope. I'm checking in. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Trishna?
Hi, everyone. I'm Trishna. I'm dialing in from London. And thank you to Amit and the rest of the gardeners who keep this space for everyone to tap into every week. For me, I guess at the moment right before we got on the call, I was just putting some notes together for the call and some themes and things that we can kind of talk through. And one of the themes I was looking at was kind of compassion begins at home. And, you know, how do we, if we're trying to teach our kids about compassion, like how do we, you know, just practice it more regularly in the way we live our family lives at home. And funny enough, I was sitting there working on all of this, and Deep had popped out. Our daughter had like some infection and stuff, and he had popped out to get some medicine. And he came back and he had picked up coffee for me, which he knows I love, and I hardly ever drink it. But he's like, oh, he just surprised me and brought this coffee along. And I was so moved by it. I was, you know, it was spontaneous. It was completely random. And I thought, oh, well, this is, you know, so nice of him to do this. And then without thinking about it, like the next, you know, however much time I had before I had to get on the call, I was, you know, just trying to be extra helpful to him because he was going to be going through all of Serena's dinner time and bedtime and everything by himself while I'm on the call. And I was thinking about it as I was reflecting just before we all started the call, and I was thinking, it's so funny how kindness really is contagious, even just within the context of your house, and how, you know, he did this kind of random, spontaneous act of kindness, brought this coffee home and surprised me. And then the next thing you know, I wanted to kind of do what I could to help him and, you know, help him prep some of the things for the next part of what he was going to be doing the next couple of hours. So it was just a fun little kind of surprise that happened right before we all got on.
Thank you. We have one more caller, and then we will get started with the next set of the call.
Hi, everyone. My name is Pultik, calling from cloudy California, Bay Area. I'd like to share a lesson I learned in holding space, you know, which is something I think I learned a lot from the service-based community. I think it happened sometime around last weekend. I came back from skiing, and I had to go to a family friend's house, a gathering for dinner. And earlier last month, my cousin just got married, and they were coming back to the Bay Area. And the friends and family that knew them that were in the area, we thought we should do something, you know, something surprising or something that we could introduce the new bride to us, you know. So we came up with an idea of just gathering our blessings in a notebook. So we all, like, I think it was a group of like 15 people, and we all shared our blessings and just our marriage advice 101 type of thing. And I think the lesson I learned was like, how we share that and still hold space of whatever everyone has to offer. I don't think there's like a right or wrong answer to that. So, and this is one of my first, I think it's my like third call that I've been on. And it's so wonderful to hear the people behind the call. You know, like, I think last week it was Ashish. I wasn't able to get in on the call, but the story that was written up, it was so beautiful. So grateful for the call and all the gardeners on the call. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Love the participation this morning. So our focus of the call today is teaching compassion, but there are so many different elements to that. And, you know, this week we're going to have Trishna actually sort of lead the call. And we're going to do things in a different manner. Typically, the way that our calls have been run is, you know, we start with this sort of, you know, the moment of silence, and then we move into this circle of sharing. And then we kind of have more sort of like an interview type dialogue with our featured speaker. And so while Trishna has been one of our featured speakers, she's our featured moderator this week. And I think that, you know, to start with, I'd like for her to just share a little bit about her journey. For those of you that don't know Trishna, she is, let's say, one of the original visionaries behind Service Space and was there pretty much from the get-go. And now she's creating Service Space London, or that's the way I like to see it, and creating a bunch of new ripples there. But recently, in the last, well, just over a year, she's also become a mother. And that has introduced new sets of questions and ideas into her head. And it spurred her to do a variety of things in terms of trying to create a community of other like-minded individuals and like-minded parents who are trying to instill similar values. And so I will turn it over to Trishna. Maybe she can share a little bit about herself and her journey with this. And then we will essentially have a circle of sharing similar to what we just did, where Trishna will introduce some themes, some topics. And then if you feel moved to share on the topic, then you can. And then we will take everything from there. And so, Trishna, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, who's taken the time to dial in to have this interesting conversation. In terms of kind of my own journey, it's interesting when I was thinking back to kind of how service has played a life in Serena's life. You know, she's only one. And we were tagged with some receiving blankets when she was born, one to keep and one to pay forward. So she did her first act of kindness, you know, within the first few weeks when she was born, to pass one on. And we made a nice little gift bag and put something together and took it to the hospital, to the same ward where we stayed when she was born. And we actually involved the midwives and told them, hey, you know, we'd love for you guys to pay this forward to a family who you think could use it and, you know, who needs a little bit of cheering up. And we put, you know, all kinds of new clothes and some diapers and, you know, all kinds of little bits and pieces together. And then her first year ended with a first birthday party at our house. And we had an idea, obviously completely inspired by the space that Service Space kind of holds, to do a pay it forward birthday party where instead of gifts in our invitations, we asked everybody to do an act of kindness and share that story with us in a card, which we are then kind of going to put together in a memory box for her and give to her when she's older. And we received some really beautiful stories. Somebody bought a first birthday present for their cleaner's daughter. Somebody else took tea out to security guards down the end of their road who on a really cold night. A few of the families have children themselves, and, you know, the kids donated some of their favorite toys to a charity. And it was just really, really wonderful to kind of see all these things that people did to honor her birthday. So it's been definitely a wonderful first year for us. And I'm sure everybody here who's on the call has lots of wonderful stories to share. So we're really looking forward to hearing your stories on the call. When I was thinking about the conversation, I thought it would be helpful to kind of think about it in terms of a few different themes. One that I thought we could start with, which is a bit of a broader topic, is, you know, how do we teach kids about empathy? You know, a lot of research indicates that kids instinctively will show empathy and concern for another kid if they're aware of that person being pained by it or hurt by it in any way and understand that. So empathy plays a really important role in teaching kids to just genuinely be compassionate. So it'd be great to kind of have a conversation about that and have some people share some stories around how they're kind of doing that in their own families. Another theme I thought we could touch on is kind of the theme of compassion begins at home. You know, what are the different things we're all trying to incorporate into our family lives on a daily basis? Or if you're an educator, obviously in the school context, what are some of the things you do regularly and kind of sharing ideas that we can kind of borrow from each other and try out that, you know, seem to be working for other people in their families? And then finally, I thought we could touch upon mindfulness as parents. You know, how are we practicing mindfulness and compassion in our own kind of lives so that we're in a good place to offer this kind of learning to our children? Because obviously a lot of the regular things we may have done before we became parents are really hard to sustain once you have little kids. So it'd be great to hear kind of people's thoughts on that. And then I thought we could conclude with the theme of, you know, it takes a village. We all know it takes a community to raise a child, and how can we here at Service Base help to create a community around this whole Cubs team? And what are, you know, what are some of the ideas that people have that you'd like, genuinely like to get involved with? And we'd love to kind of put those ideas together and then really move to action and kind of get some things going after this. So if we start with our first topic of empathy and kind of raising children who are empathetic, if anybody has any stories or thoughts, please go ahead. And is it star six, Amit?
Yes, star six to jump in the queue to share. And maybe perhaps you can start us off, Trishna.
Okay. I'm just trying to see who's on the call. I noticed Nisha is actually not dialed in on the call. For those of you who know Nisha and Raghu in India, I was going to actually call on her to share one of her stories, but I'll share it on her behalf because it was just a really beautiful story about teaching empathy to Om, their son. She was saying, you know, they were having, Om was really, he got to an age where he was really finding it fun to go around and kill bugs and ants in around their house. You know, they live on a farm. There's lots of insects around. And he would go around and just kind of, you know, want to just smash these bugs. And it's kind of this, you know, little boy instinct, I guess. And he didn't know why he was doing it. He wasn't doing it to harm them. He was just doing it because that's what little boys do. And so they tried, you know, to, you know, teach him not to do that. And that's not a good thing. And blah, 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 you know, all these different ways. And then in the end, she said, you know, one time she told Om a story about an ant that he killed. And she said, you know, that little ant's mother is going to be really, really sad because she's going to go looking for him and she's not going to be able to find him. And that's going to be really, you know, sad for her. And they said that, you know, ever since they told him this story about the ant's perspective, like what was going to happen if this ant, you know, had died and this poor mom was going to be so sad, not only did Om stop killing ants, he actually wanted to, you know, help them find their mother, like if he felt like they were lost. So it was just such an interesting way to turn the situation around. And the root of that was really in helping him to understand how his action was actually affecting the other being in this case. And, you know, as soon as he had a sense for that, instinctively he turned it right around and, you know, wanted to do what he could to actually help the situation. So I thought it was a great story. And it looks like we have someone else queued up to share. Here you are.
Oh, hi, everyone. It's Anne. And Trishna, I wanted to follow up on that beautiful story. And I have one with our own son, Peter. Peter is now 11 years old. But when he was really young, really probably around 2 years old, he was fascinated by bees. And he, when there was a bee that was either suffering or, you know, couldn't fly, he had no fear. He would go right up to the bee and pick it up and want to, you know, place it up right side up. And so we would start calling him the bee charmer. And what I realized with young children, especially before the age of 9, they are so connected with everything around them. They are not separate from the animal world or in nature. Everything is connected for them. And for us to really, as parents, honor that beautiful connection and allow them to play and really learn empathy from, you know, just, you know, whether it's a bee or an ant or flowers and be in that moment of joy and kind of miracles with them. And then I wanted to also share a story that's more recent. And so now Peter is 11, and he's in the fifth grade. And he and there's another young girl in his class. And they are both kind of choleric, very strong-willed children. And they started to just kind of bump up against each other. And there was a situation where I think they, you know, maybe have said things that hurt each other's feelings. And so as, you know, parents and also the teacher, we decided, you know, this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to really, you know, sit down and kind of share with each other kind of what was really living and kind of, you know, that it was important to, you know, kind of share their experiences and kind of hold it in a space where the teacher or the parents weren't telling them what to do, but wanting them to listen to each other and almost learn from each other. And at their school, it's actually an organized opportunity called a no blame meeting. So they sit down with a older child in the school, an eighth grader, and what they'll do is the eighth grader will take each child and take a walk, 10-minute walk, and you really hear from the child, you know, what their experience has been, why their feelings were hurt, and kind of what they're experiencing. And then they'll come back and sit down, and then the eighth graders will actually tell a story about when they were young and maybe a situation where they felt really hurt and how they, you know, how, you know, it's still living with them and how it was resolved, and really to be compassionate and empathetic to what their, you know, Peter and his friend Ruby were going through. And then the children had an opportunity to share, and each child was honored not to be interrupted, but to fully listen to what they each experienced. And what was beautiful is when Ruby was, and I wasn't present, the parents are not part of this, so I learned this through the teacher who was sitting in the space. And when Ruby started to share how Peter had said something that hurt her feelings, his face just went, oh, and he just couldn't help himself but say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And then the same thing happened with, you know, when Peter was able to share his story, she had the same reaction, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And afterward, they each, you know, wrote a letter that would, you know, honor each other and really be sensitive to each other's feelings. And then after that, I can't tell you the joy that Peter felt, you know, coming home that day. You know, he just on his own shared, oh, you know, I had this meeting with Ruby, and I said, oh, really? How was it? And he just shared, you know, it was really good, Mom. I feel like I really understand her now. And he just felt so heard and happy and joyful. And, you know, it made me realize, you know, that as parents, if we can just hold space for our children to really listen and teach them, you know, how and to practice how to be really good listeners and not to react to the feelings, but really, you know, there must be something that's coming up between them that needs to be discussed or shared. So anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for listening. I hope I didn't go on too long.
No, those are beautiful stories, Anne. Thank you so much. And your kids are so lucky to go to such a wonderful school that has that kind of opportunity for kids to have that conversation. That's great.
Yes.
All right. We have another person who's going to share. Oh, dear.
It was Ashish or Mana?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys got my initial portion, but I want to. Can you hear me now, Amit?
Yeah, we can now.
Hey, Trishna, and very beautiful stories. And all of them kind of triggered some thoughts. So I'm going to share a few things. I actually opened my inbox today morning and read a very beautiful quote. I think it was the Daily Good. It's by Jaggi Vasudev. It says, when a child enters your life, it's time to learn, not time to teach. And it hit me really hard, and I realized that there's so much learning that happens for ourselves when we have a child enter our lives, you know, being patient, being compassionate ourselves, and all those virtues that we strive to be, we actually have to put them in practice. And I realized that in that process of trying to learn and cultivate those values ourselves, we end up teaching our children, so that process of our own inner transformation is causing an implicit transformation in the children, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, that's been my observation is, you know, there's so much growth that needs to happen for myself as a parent. And as I grow in that journey, I'm actually touching my children in those ways through my actions. So just to kind of draw out a few examples, going on the themes of insects and bugs, right? I think we have insects and bugs in our home often, and I always practice, you know, and so does Manal, that we'll take the insect and we'll put it out in the backyard or in the garden. And now that's become like a standard a theme, right? So, you know, the kids are a little squeamish about touching an insect, whatever. They'll always call me or Manal, like, hey, this bug needs to be taken care of, or, you know, let's put it out there. So they're definitely very aware of that. And so that kind of draws on, like, my actions and how I treat insects or beings, you know, it kind of rubs off on them, and they kind of imitate and show empathy in that way, right? So that itself is an example that shows that, you know, cultivating the values in our own lives has a big impact on the children. Another way that I've found to be very effective, or is still work in progress, of being empathetic to children and cultivating that value in the children is by asking questions that help them reflect how they feel. So there'll be so many times when Anha and Kenna, two daughters, would be getting into some argument or, you know, this is not fair, and then we'd sit down and try to talk to them and ask them, right, how would you feel if this was done to you, or how would you feel if this was taken away from you? And just having that dialogue itself is enriching. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think it helps them relate to the other person's emotional state. And very quickly, I think the third thing that I think I've seen work well is recognizing those moments when, you know, the children have been empathetic, and celebrating those moments. A quick example comes to mind was, we actually found out from a teacher that, you know, there was a child that was lost in the complex maze of hallways in the school, and Anha saw this child was lost. She was in the first grade. I think she was in the second grade. And she actually, you know, stopped, and this child was crying, didn't know where to go. So she knew exactly where the first grade classrooms are. So she, you know, stepped out of the queue and took the class all the way to the students of the classroom, and the teacher was touched and actually wrote a note or something. And we found out later on that she had done that. And she didn't even mention that to us, right? We found out through another teacher. And so for me, I was very proud that she did that. So we actually spent some time and kind of recognized and acknowledged that what she did was very wonderful. And I'm hoping that positive reinforcement kind of helps her be aware of more opportunities that might come along her way in the future like that. So those are some few short stories.
Thank you, Ashish. Really wonderful stories. We've got our next caller. I think it's Prakash and Shruti.
Thank you. Beautiful stories. Thank you, Trishna. the future gives us a lot of hope. Future Samanis, future Serenas, Om, and the children of Ashish and Manu, and Peters, future Peters. And I think the honeybees are touching, continuing on the theme of the bugs and the insects, and seeing the oneness through all these. The beauty of a seed, a thought that emerged from the documentary from last night. The beauty of a seed is that it has the potential to multiply into a million. And to make that happen, bees are what make that potential to become a possibility through that hard work of, you know, pollination. I want to share a quick story. My family adopted an orphan girl It was quite heartbreaking story that this girl, as she was being born, she lost her mother, and she's growing with our family now, and it's so beautiful to see her, the sparkling eyes and everything that she does, and constantly reminds us about the beauty and the oneness. This story really brings home the idea of oneness. Recently, she was having a conversation with one of her family friends who had called, and on the phone, they happened to ask her, "Oh, how was your day, and what have you been doing? What is occupying your activities? How many people are there?" As they were talking, it seems like there was quite a bit of, celebration happening around her. And they happened to ask her, "Oh, seems like there are lot of things are happening around you. How many people are there?" And spontaneously, she said, 35. Really? They knew how many people live in our household, and they knew that it was a ordinary day. It was not a festival or any special celebration occasion. And she said, "Oh, yeah, we have about 20 cows and, 3 dogs and 2 cats, and remaining rest are the people." And it was like, wow. She's what, 4.5, Shruti? Around, 4.5, 5. And having that kind of a vision was really, really so beautiful. I think I'll end with one quote that came to my mind. The idea of, it says, we do not inherit We do not inherit this planet from our ancestors. Rather, we borrow this from our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Prakash. We've got our next share.
Hi, this is Nosheen. I really liked the reflection just now in terms of borrowing the planet from our children, so that was really beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I just wanted to chime in with a passage from Khalil Gibran's poem on from his book, The Prophet, on the passage, Children. So he says here, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may have their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday." Thank you.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I think that's a great way to actually end this section on empathy. Really, really nice reading. The next kind of theme we wanted to go into is, compassion begins at home. We've given a lot of kind of small examples as they relate to empathy. But more broadly, I thought it'd be great to kind of hear ideas of kind of regular things that people practice as a family. And I think they're ideas that I would love to hear. We have a one-year-old, so we're very new at this whole process. And a lot of you have a lot of wisdom to share with those of us who are younger parents or even future parents. For me, my contribution is really kind of that concept of doing a pay it forward birthday party. We had this great kind of first birthday celebration, and the stories that came in were lovely. And I think it's a great way, especially for young kids, who it's very easy for people to feel the love of just wanting to give them toys and books and all kinds of things. And I thought that was a great kind of alternative way to celebrate a birthday. So if we want to open up the queue again to people kind of sharing what they do, either daily, monthly, yearly, or even just once in a while, something they've tried even once, it'd be great to kind of hear your stories of how you practice compassion as a family together. If we can open up the queue now.
If
anyone
star six,
ready to share?
Star six folks can join in.
And what do you press again? Star six?
Yep, star six.
I believe we have Ashish on the line.
Yeah, hey Trishna. I shared this last time when we had a forest call, so it's a bit of a repetition. So hopefully you guys don't doze off, especially Amit and Birju heard this before.
There's enough new people on the call and no chance of dozing off with Ashish's wisdom.
All right. So here's a few small things that we do, which has been fun, and I think, you know, maybe it might benefit other people. So this is actually a microfinance institution called Kiva, where you can actually pick social entrepreneurs from around the world, and you can give them a 0% kind of interest-free loan in to help them start their business. And after they've successfully started their business, they gradually start repaying your loan, and so you get the money back, and then you can reloan it to another social entrepreneur. So I toyed with the idea of, like, you know, having both Anha and Kenna regularly, you know, maybe once or twice a month, sit down and look through, like, entrepreneurs from different parts of the world and see what they're doing and pick out, like, whom, you know, they should donate or pass on the interest-free loan to. So we have been doing that exercise for the past year or so, and they've kind of picked a few social entrepreneurs, and then we see the progress of how they're doing in their business and, you know, and how the money is being paid back and how it's being used again to, you know, help someone else. So one interesting question that was asked of me is, like, how does Anha kind of pick whom they want to loan the money to? And I actually didn't have an answer, so I reflected on that, and next time I actually asked Anha, you know, why are you picking this person? And she would always look for the person who had raised the least amount of money, so the $0. So because Kiva actually ranks the entrepreneurs from, you know, the entrepreneur that has almost 100% raised their target, or, you know, down all the way to zero. So she would always scroll down to the last page and look for, like, the entrepreneur that has raised zero. So that was interesting that she had that thought process. But, you know, we've done this experiment, and I think we keep continuing to do that. The other small thing that Manal is, you know, very active in that she does is she, on every Thursday evening, they actually go through, like, a video of the week. So Manal will sit down every Wednesday. Manal corrects me, it's Wednesday. Tells you how much I know. But Manal, I think, picks out videos from KarmaTube and other websites, and, you know, the kids are always in tune with, like, visual stuff, right? So it's a great way to convey kind of the morals and values that we'd like to convey, and then them to see other examples in a very engaging manner, right? So hopefully those seeds are being planted, and they will sprout later on in the right way. And the other thing that I'm working on right now is, it's still a work in progress, it's just creating that quiet space in the evening before they go to bed, where you try to read to them, but it's not so much just reading to the kids before going to bed, but it's allowing the time to, you know, once again convey, you know, values and morals through stories, and then reflecting on those things together with the kids. But that's still work in progress. But these are some of the small things that we've been doing, there's still a lot more to explore. So I'd love to hear from other folks as well on what they've been doing.
That's great. Really, really lovely stories about your lovely daughters. We have the next caller.
Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hello, this is Jeff. I guess
for me, as far as, you know, on the compassionate home thing, you know, some of you already mentioned some of them. I think it's all the little things, you know, that we do. Somebody mentioned earlier, you know, about celebrating the moments when they do something right. That's one thing that we really try to do in our house is catch them doing something compassionate and then just really reinforcing that, you know, so that they understand the whole lesson. You know, with my daughter, Rachel, any of you that are on Help Others know that I'd love to share our little kindness adventures and some of those stories. She has really adopted this, and a lot of it comes from, you know, just not necessarily some of the major, you know, kindness adventures we go on, but a lot of the little things with both her, but she just turned 8 years old, and then my son is 9. And one of the things that I've really noticed about the children is that, well, they really want to please you. And so just acknowledging the smallest little things with them, like, hey, you know, I saw you share your snacks with your friend. That was very nice of you. Or just a lot of those little things, couple of those, and then it becomes second nature for them just to do it without any more encouragement. And all those little things seem to make such a difference. I'll tell you a quick story about that is a few years ago, I received a package of goodies from London, from one of my smile friends in London. And there was one of the particular items in there was a little chocolate bar that had a note on it for Rachel that said, you know, something about, hey, you know, thanks for sharing your kindness or something like that. And it was the fact, it gave me an opportunity to explain to her, you know, well, how do they know who I am? Like, oh, I just like to share your little kindness stories and things like that. And it meant so much to her, not to mention the fact that she loves chocolate, but it meant so much to her that, you know, somebody so far away would acknowledge that and liked her kindness things. So it really helped to reinforce, and she was only 4 or 5 years old at the time, really helped reinforce, you know, that with her. I think the other thing is just they really learn by example. And I found that out both the hard way and in a good way. The hard way, when my son was 2 years old, he dropped an ice cream cone on the sidewalk and while we were outside. And the phrase he uttered was, oh, crap. And my first thought was, well, that's not exactly what I want him to say. And he's a little bit stronger version. I'm giving you the PG-rated version or the G-rated version of the call. But it was a great reminder for me that they're always watching and learning. And then on the positive side, I have been shipping smiley cards for a while in Help Others. And my daughter Rachel would see me on the bed stuffing envelopes and things like that. And, you know, always saw me doing that, wanted to be a part of that. Well, it went from wanting to be a part of shipping smile cards to, hey, I want to go with you on your next activity we do. So we would start that off. And, you know, the first couple, you know, they get used to it. They don't really, you know, sure, she's kind of shy, wasn't really sure, you know, if she wanted to, you know, sneak up on someone and hand out a card or do something anonymous, whatever we were doing. But the more we did it, the more she really loved it and really became a part of her. Not so much just a, you know, some type of activity, but really like a learning type moment. And it's great for me to watch her progress in her, I guess what I would call her kindness character, as she, you know, learns those lessons. And more importantly, I watch her practice them, especially when I'm not around. I think that's, you know, one of the best things we do. One thing I noticed when I saw some of the topics for the call was how technology can help that. Now, there's a lot of stuff on the internet or the web that I really don't want them to look at, but one of the areas where I found that enables them is Rachel likes to sit with me, and we go through some of the comments and read the updates on some of the different kind acts people do. And she loves to read, so it helps her read, which is great, but it really helps her to read about the little things that people are doing, whether it's, hey, I opened a door for someone, or I bought the person behind me a coffee, things like that. Every single time, she reads that, it stays with her a lot more than I even knew, you know, to the point where, you know, she'll suggest we do something similar when we're out one day. Hey, can we buy, you know, the coffee for the person behind us, just like that person on Helpers did. And it's a phenomenal thing for me to see that in practice when we're not really trying to push it. I guess the last thing I'll share is somebody else mentioned, you know, not only some of the teaching moments, but it's also a time to learn. And I think I've really seen that, you know, with my children. The funny story for me is that, you know, the other day Rachel said to me, hey, when are we going to go on one of our kindness adventures again? Because it's been a long time. And I laughed, and the first thing I thought was, well, that's fantastic that she loved it so much. And then it was a good motivator and a good lesson for me that, yeah, I guess it's been a little while. I guess I better get on this. You know, we really enjoy this, and it's a real part of our family. So, but just those are my thoughts. I absolutely love the fact, you know, recognizing what they do. And, boy, just all those little things. I think we have so many opportunities in every day just to recognize something positive or when they're showing empathy or showing compassion to their friends. It really reinforces, especially when they're younger. And she's growing up, you know, specifically with such a kind heart. You know, it makes me real positive for the world when I see things like that and hear some of the stories, you know, that you guys are sharing, that, you know, we're actually, you know, training the kindest warriors out there for the future. And I apologize, my voice is kind of going in and out, so hope it didn't sound as I've been kind of sick. But and Trish, I got to say, I love the pay it forward birthday party idea, because what a thing for a Serena to be able to treasure. And I think that's something I might have to try to sneak into either one of the birthdays in our family.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing, Jeff. Really wonderful stories. Next up, we've got Anne again.
I wanted just to share a ritual that we started just last summer and that we hope to do every summer going forward. We live right next to a very small city park, and it's kind of set below the road, so it's kind of a quiet little neighborhood park. And we are so grateful to having it right next door, and so we're there, you know, a couple times a day. And this last spring, I ran into a neighbor of ours, and she said, gosh, Anne, I'm feeling like we really need to create more community. And I said, you know, I've been feeling the same thing, and I've had this dream of hosting little gatherings in our park every Friday, and we'd all bring something to share and just kind of create a little ritual around the park. And she said, oh, I love that idea. And I said, well, you know what? You've inspired me. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so the children and George and I put together a little flyer, and we walked around the neighborhood disseminating a little flyer about, you know, Friday gatherings and come meet your neighbors and get to know your community and bring something to share. And it would be from, you know, 5 to 8 every Friday. And so we just kind of went far and wide around the neighborhood, and, you know, we just thought, we'll see what happens. And it was just, for me, I think, beautiful to just commit myself to every Friday during the summer as a weekly kind of ritual. And and the children at first were like, wow, that's a lot. Are you sure we can do this? And I said, absolutely. And all we're really doing is, you know, placing tablecloths on the picnic tables and bringing some flowers, and we'll bring something to share, and we'll just see. And so the first Friday, we had about 20 neighbors come, and families and little ones, and then each successive Friday, we'd have close to almost 40 people. It was just astounding, because this is a very, very small little park, and, you know, there are lots of older neighbors and new families moving in, so it was this beautiful opportunity to really get to know each other, and we just have so many touching stories about getting to know our neighbors, and it really did feel like we're just widening this beautiful family and holding space for, you know, whether a neighbor is going through something difficult or having a new baby to bring in the world. And it's been, you know, really life-changing for our family. And and again, just having that weekly ritual to look forward to. And Peter said to me just last week, he said,
when are we going to start gathering our Friday gatherings again? All of my friends want to come. And it made me really smile to realize he really looks forward to it. And so, again, I'm just blown away by a small gesture and how wide it ripples out into the community. And then I also wanted to share that just kind of within our family, I think for George and I, our favorite rituals are how we wake up our children and how we put them to bed. And we usually spend about 20 minutes to a half an hour in their rooms in the mornings before they wake up, just kind of whether you just gently scratch their back or say good morning and just sitting on the bedside. And it's just the most beautiful way for them to wake up. And they're usually so huggy. And you know, even at 11 and 14, I think it's one of our favorite rituals. And it just is a beautiful way to start the day, you know, just calm and connected. And then in the evening, we also read to our children. And sometimes I'll read to Emily, or George will read to Peter, or Peter will read to George, and Emily will read to me. And it's just, again, just such a sweet ritual that I just hold so dear to my heart. So anyway, thank you for listening.
Thanks, Anne. Really nice ideas. Mother and Meghna?
Yes. Hi, this is Meghna. Such beautiful stories. It's just really, really heartwarming. We have a 10.5-month-old baby, Reva, and it's a little soon for us to see how she's reciprocating our small little experiments that we do on and off. But there's one thing that really strikes to me is a lesson that I learned in that process of communicating with her. And it so happens in India, culturally speaking, you know, when a child falls or bangs into something or gets hurt in some way or the other, you know, we always say, I've seen my elders hit the floor and say, oh, look, the aunt died, or let's hit it, you know, just I'll shout at the ant so that you'll feel fine. And I came to realize that these were very negative connotations. And I was very sure that that's not what I want to do with her. So I came up with my own little, I'm sorry, Funda, whenever she would fall. So there was one favor and she would fall a lot because she was just beginning to crawl and falling and beginning to hold things and get up. And whenever she'd fall, I'd say, oh, look, see, the floor got hurt. You know, let's just say, sorry, floor, I hurt you. And I wasn't realizing what I was doing until a very nice couple came home one day, and they have a teenage son, and they have a lot of these positive conversations that they do with him. And in their presence, Reva had a bang again. And I started with my, oh, look, you know, the floor got hurt. Let's just say sorry, you know. And she just looked at me and she said, why does anyone have to be blamed in the process? And I realized that in avoiding the negative connotation, I was actually tipping on the other side of the scale. And I immediately realized that this is not going to be good. So from there on, obviously, I came up with my own solution afterwards, and I'm hoping that it'll work. And every time Reva would fall or bang, I'd just say, it's okay, look, see, your hands are okay, your feet are okay, your nose is okay. And she just starts to wonder, what am I saying? And she seems to get it and gets quiet, and we start to play and do our own little thing that we were doing. And I'm hoping that by this little experiment, when she grows up and when she comes across situations that hurt her or people or incidences or situations trouble her, she probably will think of this lesson that it's okay, you know, it's over and now I'm okay. So just a small little lesson that I learned in that process, and I thought that would be nice to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Meghna. We've got Somik on the line.
Yes, this is Sonic. I had two thoughts to share, and one was it's incredible how much the parents learn about compassion by getting it from everyone. So the last, you know, since our daughter was born, life has been completely upside down. and we learned that we really are completely helpless. And so many people came forward to help us, and that just so amazing. I mean, in the past, we've had friends who've had babies, and we may have helped here and there, small things, but we didn't really understand what people were going through until we went through it. So that is just amazing, and we've had people from the service-based community here offering to do groceries and just hanging out and helping. It has meant a lot, and I think that's just remarkable, because just being on the receiving end inspires us to do something when we get the opportunity. And the second thing was, it's kind of interesting how kids interact with each other or even relate to each other. So when our daughter Samani was born, on the day she was born, our friends came to the hospital, and friends had a daughter of their own who was, I think, around 3 years old. And she came in with a balloon, and she saw Samani, and she wanted to play with her. And her parents had to explain, no, Samani is just born, she can't play. And so she said, okay, and she went home. And our neighbor's daughter also came in and expecting, I guess, to play, and she saw the little infant, and she also went away. And then, interesting thing happened. One day, our neighbor knocks and says, my daughter really wants to give you guys something. So she has an art class, and she decided to draw something. And being very little kids, their drawing is mostly scribbles with crayons. And she had torn apart of that artwork, and she wanted to gift it to somebody. And I was just blown by that, you know, a little girl who just hears about this baby being born and wants to come and gift something she's made with her own hands. And, you know, we had some balloons at home, and I immediately tagged her back on behalf of Samani, and she just jumped up and down seeing the balloon. So it is really nice to see these opportunities coming up so spontaneously. And the other girl who saw her in the hospital, one day I get a call from a dad, and he says, my daughter really wants to talk to you about, you know, Samani. I said, what is this? She has questions. And her question was, has Samani finished drinking her milk? And I said, yeah. And it's just incredible that another girl, seeing her just once and thinking about her and being concerned about her in her own amazing way. So I was just blown by this and just amazed by the mystery of it all. So thank you for listening. And I'm just so awed by all the stories that I'm hearing here. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks, Omik. So I think that was a great discussion, actually, on kind of how we all are practicing compassion at home. And I think some great ideas to noodle on for those of us who are just getting started with establishing these kind of new traditions as a family. So thank you, everybody who shared all these different wonderful things you guys do with your kids. We have about 15 minutes left on the call, and I wanted to kind of, I hope you don't mind if we skip our second to last topic, which is an important one, mindfulness as parents, and kind of what are we all doing to make time for that. I thought we would kind of take this opportunity, since there's so many of us on the call, to talk about the community aspect of all of this, to get everyone's kind of thoughts together. You know, we all know it takes a village and a community to raise a child, and, you know, what can we do in this service-based kind of context to build community around the theme of teaching children compassion. I thought I'd start by sharing a few things we've been noodling on, you know, on the email alias and things, and then kind of ask people to feedback with what they think would be really helpful in a very practical sense. Because obviously one person may have a lot of ideas, and then other people may think, actually, I'm never going to use any of those things. Like, let's not bother, you know, spending effort and making all those things. There's this other third thing that I really would love to see on there. So one idea is to make kind of a Cubs Corner on service-based. You know, anybody can join it who wants to be kind of part of that corner, where there would be an insight feed for all of us to kind of share the stories that are coming up as we're kind of practicing all of these things day to day, so that exactly the kinds of things we're sharing on this call, we could share in a very kind of regular way, easily with everybody who is keen to share these types of things and learn from each other. The other is to have, in this Cubs Corner, to have a little kind of bookshelf of recommended books, both for kids and for parents, on relevant topics relating to, you know, teaching kids to be compassionate. A third idea we had to include in the Cubs Corner there is a section on inspirational content from all of our other websites. So Daily Good, KarmaTube, Help Other, you know, all these websites feature content every now and again that's very tuned in to children, you know, teaching children these values. And so we thought it'd be kind of fun to experiment with having a feed of those stories in one place so that somebody who just kind of wants to look through that filter can kind of find these stories all in one place. So that's one thing we were thinking of setting up on the website. I wanted to share on behalf of Sarah, who is actually writing a book on this kind of theme, and she wasn't able to join the call today because it's actually her daughter's birthday and they're out doing some family things. But she sent me a wonderful idea on sending out a weekly email to everybody who's on the Cubs team, and perhaps we can rotate kind of putting this together once a week so that everyone kind of only does it once a year even potentially. And this once-a-week email would include an inspiring quote about kids or parenting or kind of service as it relates to families, a suggestion of a book for a tot up to a teen, as she says, with a sentence or two on why it's a good choice, which age group it's for, and, you know, just a little blurb about it. The third thing would be something regarding a parenting topic that relates to service-based themes, maybe a book suggestion on parenting, maybe a reprint of an article, maybe a piece written by a Cub parent, or perhaps a link to a video that might be helpful to share with a family. And the fourth thing in the email is something participatory for the parent and child to do together. She says maybe a suggestion of an activity with a modification for different age groups, maybe a link of a video to watch together and a topic to discuss afterwards, or perhaps reading to share at the dinner table and something to discuss as a family. And she says the idea is to keep it short and allow a whole week to process the information before sending another installment. So I wanted to kind of throw those few things out there and then kind of get people's thoughts on other ideas. I mean, one other idea I had was to organize local volunteer events, which are family volunteer events that we can do together in kind of the local areas that we're all spread out in. They could be themed by different age groups. They could be even things like doing kind of compassionate field trips, so like going to visit an organic farm, going to visit a recycling center, going together to visit a senior home, a food bank, an animal rehab center. It's kind of different things for people to kind of see what, you know, for kids to learn about these kind of different themes. So I'll throw those things out there and now open it up to you all to kind of share what ideas you had or to comment on any of the ideas that I've shared that you think would be particularly helpful so that we can kind of focus the efforts going forward on kind of the areas that people are really interested in. I think we've got Parth lined up.
Yes, hi, this is Parth, and I want to humbly say that I am actually I'm someone who seeks to be a conscious parent down the road, and it's just wonderful to be around all of you who are new parents, young parents, and also seasoned parents. I think these suggestions for the parent idea, Trishna, are fantastic. One of the things that I would love to support on and see is how can we connect the youth together? So imagine you have, say, Peter, you know, who's 11 years old in one part of the world, connected to another 11-year-old, and maybe a son of a parent who's part of the service-based circle elsewhere around, you know, either in the States or in India, somewhere else. And where you could have groups of kids, let's say a tripod, three or four youth in specific age brackets that would get together, say, once a month, say through a Google Hangout or something very low tech, and they shared conversations around compassion, and they shared conversations around service. So maybe coattailing on what parents are practicing at home and, say, organizing a local volunteer event after parents have shared their stories to have the youth and young people come together and say, hey, what was it like for you? What did you go in Ahmedabad, or what did you go in London, or what did you go in San Jose? What did you go in New York, and what was that like for you? You know, and I feel like in one of the catalysts, just in my very short exposure to kids, in terms of fostering empathy, is creating this greater exposure to new experiences, not just new experiences beyond, like just new experiences in life, but also exposing certain kids with other kids in their own peer group and seeing how they experience certain things. And through that dialogue, I feel like something magical happens. They begin to see that, wow, you feel pain or you feel joy, you feel generosity and compassion, yet your expression of that is unique to you. So I feel like that sharing would be very valuable. The other thing that I think it was Somik that you had mentioned that happened to Somani about sharing artwork. That would, I think, be really great for the younger kids, you know, who are 7 or 8 or like Anha's age, you know, Ashish's daughter's age, where they get to create something and they get to ship it out to somebody once again in their peer group around, you know, within the service space circle. And so you've got this kind of rotation of artwork and maybe even like a small mural, and each youth is adding something to it. And then it comes back full circle and goes, wow, I started, you know, this section one and there's 8 sections to this piece of artwork, and somebody else filled in section 2, somebody else filled in section 3, and then they got it back together, or they got it, you know, came back to the original creator of the artwork, say, after 2 months or something. And they got to see, wow, this is something that has been a collective co-creation from friends in my peer group around the world. You know, I think that would plant some deep seeds as well. So I'm kind of, I would love to help facilitate and participate and support any resources or anything around conversations, particularly connecting youth around the world, around the country.
Great, thank you, Paris.
Sure.
We've got Ashish up next, I believe.
Hello, Ashish.
Hey, Ashish.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Sorry, I had my phone on mute. Sorry about that. But this is a great idea, and I love it how it's becoming so actionable, and it's not just at the level of just being discussions and, you know, making ourselves, you know, feel good or inspired, and we're just taking it to the next level. So I definitely resonate with a lot of the things that you, and would love to participate in, you know, any shape or form that we come up with. I actually had thoughts around the lines of what Parth was thinking, and, you know, just in terms of connecting. I mean, the couple of things, right? I don't know all the parents and all their children, so just knowing the people and knowing a bit about, you know, their names and a little bit of their background is a great start. And then secondly, trying to connect, you know, kids of the same age, you know, parts of youths, but, you know, back in the older days, we had this notion of pen pals, where people would write to each other, and if there's a platform where, you know, Anha would connect to Rachel or some of the other kids of her age and just share stories or just find out what they're doing and just create a greater awareness of, you know, beyond their friends on in the social circle in where we live, try to connect with like-minded or you know, inspiring kids around the world. So I think if there's a way to facilitate that, that would be really powerful.
Yeah, that's really a cool idea. Thanks, Ashish. Somik?
And Somik, before you jump on and then the other individual behind that, we are coming up close on the sort of the 90-minute time frame, so we are going to end up going a little bit over. So those of you that do need to leave, then we understand. And for those of you that can stay a little bit, that's great as well. And so we will wrap it up with Somik's comments, and then I believe Prakash, and then we will close out the call.
I had a few quick ideas. I really loved all the ones that were shared, and I liked in particular the idea of the feed and just randomly reading about people's experiences. That's a very nice way of keeping in touch. But more specifically, our neighbors, on their first birthday of the daughter, they had a very interesting thing they did. They gave letters, 26 letters of the alphabet, to 26 friends, and they basically said that you're responsible for one letter. You can put whatever you want on the page. So each letter could stand for a value or something inspiring, and basically they compiled these little pages into their baby's alphabet book. And that is a very nice way of producing something meaningful. And I think that's an idea which we might replicate or has replication possibilities. So that's one. The second thing I feel is in this day and age, one of the things we really miss is the experience of our parents and grandparents. And in many cases, people sometimes don't have access to their grandparents anymore. So what would be wonderful is to create a sort of a global family network where our, you know, if someone's facing a problem, a medical issue, or you know, the kid is not sleeping, kid is behaving cranky, what do we do? What's going on? And can somebody actually reach out in a very practical manner, say, here are some ideas, and this might be happening. So any way in which that connection can happen with parents who cannot travel as easily but can give their advice and support, and to especially to people who do not have access to that advice, that would be one idea. And the third one is the other big thing that I feel we miss, especially for people who've kind of left their original culture and they've come to another country, is how do you bring your culture to your child? And one of the ways is, suppose we had a little tool on the service-based site which said, you know, I want to teach or I want to help our child learn these values, you know, for this month or whatever it is. And then you can ask, well, what kinds of stories do you want to use to teach this? And you could pick stories from contemporary culture. You could pick it from your religious tradition or anything you like. So there could be all kinds of categories. And these stories will then be used to compile a customized little book for your child, which embodies the values you want to impart. And of course, there's a lot in this idea I recognize in terms of programming, but if it could be pulled off, it would be really neat. And people can add to a growing corpus of stories from different traditions all over the world and allow people to customize their little learning books in a dynamic form. So that's it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing. And last up, we've got Prakash and Shruti.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Beautiful ideas. And we too deeply resonate with, you know, basically implementing those ideas, not just remain at the idea level, the action part of it. I loved Somik's idea of, you know, this value lookup system. That would be so wonderful. And I remember in their blessing shower, Somik and Geets and their parents were also here. They did something similar to that, which is very concrete, actionable one, which is sort of like a value, mapping a value to the story game. That was beautiful. Idea I wanted to present was this, is actually already expressed, but there was something which was very concrete that I wanted to share, is the idea from my childhood, an experience I used to go through, is about, there is this tremendous, tremendous, you know, creativity and coming from the the serenity and how beautiful state the mind of a kid is, and to tap into that creativity and share it wide and deep is this idea of creativity feed. Perhaps we could have something like on the service space creativity feed, where essentially we don't really need any high-tech tools, any low-tech, could be as simple as you know, something, a picture taken from a phone uploaded, the creative work of all these children all over the globe. You take a picture and upload it, and maybe it is a short poem or some expression, or it could be a, you know, something drawn on the in the sand of the beach, or a something maybe a snowman. All you know, all those things anywhere, or maybe it could be something, you know, done with the color. Rangolis is something that comes to my mind. Growing up, whenever I used to see the magazine, there is a particularly one magazine I was really, really deeply drawn to. When I reflected on it, wow, what was that that really drawn to me, that magazine, was this center page. There used to be a page called Putani Puta. What that means in my native language is like the page for the children. And there used to be some creative work from the children, and they would write their name and their age. That used to really bring so much joy just to see those, simple art. And we could have these art flowing into the creative feed space on Service Space. That's an idea. I thought I would share that. And I do have a few more stories. I will save them. One was really funny one. I wanted to share a bit of the funny side and the humor side of the kids too. We will save it, and hopefully we'll write it and share it. Thank you all so much for listening and making this such a beautiful way to start our day here. Thank you.
Thank you, Prakash. And thank you, everybody, for all that input. I think it's great. Like Ashish said, I think it was important for the call not to just be a nice conversation, but kind of how can we come together to kind of continue this conversation in the context of Service Space, and, how can we co-create that space, that Cubs Corner, and, that aspect of Service Space, because I think everyone here has a lot to share and a lot to learn from each other as well. So thank you, everybody, for being on the call. I believe we're going to do a circle of gratitude. Is that right, Amit?
That's right. So, again, thank you for everyone joining the call. We will just take a minute of silence, and then you should see some follow-up on the call within the next few days, including a summary recap of some of the highlights and the wonderful sharing that all of you contributed to. And then we'll also send out information on next week's call, and a very special thank you to Trishna for really taking the time to curate this call and bring up all these sort of wonderful themes that I'm sure have been at the forefront of all of your minds, and definitely for some of us who are not parents yet, and hope to be. So with that, a minute of gratitude, please. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and actually have a wonderful week, and tune in next week.
Thanks, Amit. Thanks, everyone.